We didn't test out these chairs ahead of time. A little nervous.
When Deb and I were talking about this last service, that will be my last service here at ETC, we decided that we would share the message together. And as we were talking about what it was that we thought we would say, we decided that what we could do would be to share a story. Last week I talked about stories and how stories define and shape our lives, and we learn who we are through our stories. But we also find out that until we connect to the story in which we really belong, which is God's story, sometimes our stories don't make sense. That we need to put our story into the larger story, the greatest story ever told, the story that we've been talking about tonight. Last Sunday, as we went through our last week of Advent, where we've been talking about sacred, we talked about deep knowing. This season, we've been talking about this interesting relationship between the sacred and the secular, about trying to make a connection between those things that we do that we define as sacred, like being in church, worshiping, and the things we define as secular, like out shopping. And how do we find the sacred in the midst of all those ordinary, hectic things that we do in Christmas? And I have to admit, this morning, as I was racing to try to get food ready for tonight and cleaning my house and this week going to Costco and the mall and the traffic, I had a little trouble finding the sacred. And then I realized that for me, the sacred this year was the fact that I wasn't doing it alone, that my husband, who is now retired, was doing it with me for the first time. And it wasn't easy. He was like, "This is crazy." And I'm like, "I know, this is what I've been doing all these years." And graciously, he came along and helped me. And for me, that was sacred. So, as I was thinking about a story that's been sacred for me, I thought about a Christmas. It's probably been 3 or 4 years now. And the year before that, some friends of ours, and I've told this story for some of you, so you may have heard it. We have these friends, and they're college friends. And about almost 20 years ago, the young man, who's my husband's age, was diagnosed with MS. And through the years, it's deteriorated to where now he's in a wheelchair and the only thing he can move is his head. He can talk and he can laugh. And he's an amazing person because he won't complain. He will talk about how blessed he is. And so 3 or 4 years ago, we were with them and they started to tell us a story about their own Christmas and how they wanted their grown children to understand how blessed they were. And so on Christmas Eve day, they decided to give each of their kids an envelope with some cash in it. And they said, the only rule is, between now and tomorrow, you have to give it away. You can't spend it on yourself. And you have to give it to, they didn't care who you gave it to. But you have to come back on Christmas Day, and you have to tell us the story. So they shared their stories of when their kids went out and one went to a gas station and saw somebody that was driving in, you know, a car that looked like they were living out of, and they gave him the cash, and they told the story of how, you know, humbled the person was, and somebody in a grocery store, and anyway, the stories were amazing. So Phil and I were talking about it and we said, you know what, I like that idea. So the next Christmas, and we didn't wait till Christmas Eve day because we thought we need a little more time. On my birthday, December 1st, when we're all together as a family, we gave each of our kids an envelope and their spouses with some cash in it with the same rule. You can't spend it on yourself. You have to give it away. And on Christmas Day, you need to come back and you need to share the stories. So that Christmas Day, when we finished opening the gifts and it was all wonderful and fun and everything, we asked them to share their stories. Now, as I said last Sunday, I've had a lot of wonderful Christmases. They kind of blur together, but that Christmas I will never forget. Because as they shared their stories, we felt the sacred in the room. My son gave their money to a classroom in the inner city of kids that didn't have very much. My other son gave it to a coworker that was ill. My daughter sent it to the thyroid cancer research because my son-in-law had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And that was, you know, every story was touching. But then my daughter Megan, she pulled out her computer and she said, "I want you guys to watch something." And she played a video for us. Well, it turned out that when Megan was trying to figure out where she was going to give the money to, she was researching different charities and organizations, and she'd heard about an organization in Wheaton called Bridge Communities. And it was an organization that would help people that were just down on their luck. It would help them find jobs and housing and just give them a second chance. And so she decided to go into their website, and she pulled up where they had testimonies of people that had been helped by this community. And she pulled up this testimony with this young mother that had two little children who told this story about how she'd been married young and had these two children, and her husband got involved with some addiction, drugs and alcohol, and as you can imagine, things went downhill and he lost his job. They ended up being evicted, and for a while they were living out of their car with two little tiny children. And as Megan showed the video, we realized that the person that was talking and telling her story was one of Megan's friends from high school. She'd lost touch with her when she'd gone off to college, and she had no idea that her friend Angela had been going through this. And of course, Megan is, you know, sobbing, realizing that someone that she knew very well in high school had gone through an incredibly difficult time, and that if it hadn't been for this Bridge community, she doesn't know what she would have done. As she said, "They saved my life." Well, by then we were all crying, because I always remember Angela coming to my house and doing her hair. She was on dance team with Megan, and you know, stories like that, you have no idea sometimes what people go through. And as Debbie and I talked, sometimes at Christmas, amidst all the joy and the blessings and the things you're so grateful for, sometimes we need to hear the stories of people that are struggling, and stories that remind us how blessed we are, and because we are blessed, we need to be a blessing. When Jesus came, he didn't come so that life would be perfect. He came so that we would learn to give, to help, to be there for one another. And it was a sacred moment for our family that I won't forget.
So I'm been having some trouble getting into the Christmas spirit. Not here at church. Church, I've been fine. It's been easy because we have this system within the Christian church of four Sundays of Advent that prepare us for what's coming and, you know, invite us to wait and to look and to attend to this. And so I was doing well at church, but not so well at home. And some of you may experience this from time to time. I just get crazed by the consumerism. I get driven mad by the commercials on TV. I can't watch another, you know, Hallmark movie. These things don't draw me into the spirit of Christmas. They seem to drive me away. And, you know, knowing that I have to get shopping done and go out into those malls, you know, makes me nutty. Now, I know some folks have done better with the online thing, but I have to wander a bit. And in the midst of all of this, my sister-in-law graduated from Worcester College in Ohio. And because there was no big graduation ceremony, the family gathered for a party to celebrate. So on the 18th or 15th or something, we drove out to Ohio in the midst of this crazy busy season. And on the way out there, it snowed badly. So we had a trip that was supposed to take 7 hours, took 9 hours. But a lovely party, wonderful party. And it was a good day of celebrating and being with family. But it wasn't really helping my spirit because I still had things to do back here. And on the way back from Ohio, of course, you have to stop occasionally, or at least I do have to stop occasionally. And we pulled into one of the rest stops off of the Ohio Turnpike and go in and do, you know, what everybody needs to do and find the Starbucks. That's what we love about the rest stops in the Ohio Turnpike is they have Starbucks. And so we're standing in line, my mother-in-law and I, standing in line at the Starbucks, and a woman behind us starts to chit-chat with us. Well, I can't be bothered, really. You know, I'm just so tired of driving in the snow, and I've got things to do, and it's going to be Diane's last Sunday, and I've got to get back to church. And this woman begins a conversation, and I'm sort of listening to it, but my mother-in-law has been drawn into it because she's a nicer person than I. And the woman at first didn't seem quite right. I mean, to carry on a conversation and start to share an intimate story with a stranger at the Starbucks seemed a little inappropriate. But as I'm listening, I'm starting to hear a bit of her story. It's been 30 years since she's been home for Christmas, and she's going this year. She's traveling back to Detroit to be with her family for the first time in many, many years. It seems that she was someone who served in our military, and there was an incident that created a great deal of trauma for her, and she experienced and suffered from PTSD. And so for a long time, it wasn't comfortable being with her family. It wasn't easy being with her family. But this year she was excited about going home, about being with family again in this midst of this holy, holy season. And I was thinking to myself, I had to come all the way to the rest stop off the Ohio Turnpike to get a glimpse of the real mystery and power of Christmas. Because in this woman's story, I heard hope for the impossible. She had no idea whether things would go well or not, and I don't even know how it went. But my prayer is that it went well. But she had this incredible sense that at Christmas time, there was something that could draw her family back together. There was some power, some love still there that could maybe begin a process of reconciliation and restoration. Now, in the beginning of Advent, we all had sacred written on our arms, our temporary tattoos. I'm seriously thinking about getting a tattoo now. Because that sign would fade and I would start to forget to look for the holy in the midst of my life outside the church. You know, I would stop looking for the light and the love and the stories of hope and possibility. Until, of course, you overhear some conversation in the rest stop on the Ohio Turnpike. I'm reminded that love is what we celebrate in this season. A love that came not just for people in the church, but for the whole world. A love that connects us with each other and connects us with the divine, not just here, not just today, but every day and everywhere. So for this, I give thanks for this woman and pray that her experience, her reconciliation with her family was a joy and a blessing. It was for me. So now we're going to give you a few minutes to tell a story. Choose somebody next to you and to share a story, and we're going to give you 3 minutes each, so you can't go on. And we trust that you won't, because the preachers have already completed their task. So if you would just take a moment and share a story with someone sitting next to you, and it doesn't have to be a deep story, it could just be a memory, it could be some special gift you received, it could be a moment when you experienced Christmas at its best. So, have a few minutes. I'd like to invite the children, though, to come up front with me for a moment while you just share your stories.